Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Now, just so you kind of get the location about where this church at Smyrna was, all these churches were in what we call modern-day Turkey. They were located, Ephesus was on the sea, almost directly across from the Isle of Patmos that John the Apostle was writing this letter to them. Directly, straight across would be that great city of Ephesus. Well, about 35 miles to the north of Ephesus was Smyrna. And it also was a seaport city. It was right on the sea. Matter of fact, it was considered by historians, we're told, as the most exquisite city that the Greeks ever built in Asia. It was known as the glory of Asia, not just because of its location, but we're going to find out some of the buildings that they had built. It was quite a sight to see. The city of Smyrna sloped to the sea, and along the sides of a hill was a large amphitheater that was able to hold about 20,000 people in an amphitheater. And it was there in the place of Smyrna. When we read later, you kind of understand about the seat of Satan is there. It was there that the worship of Caesar was centered. There in Smyrna, matter of fact, they built the first temple ever to Caesar there in Smyrna. So that fits in that you were the seat of Satan because of the worship of Caesar and others that stemmed out of that great city of Smyrna. And this Smyrna, it's now located in the modern day Izmir, which is Turkey. It's located there. Izmir, I've been there. It's quite a place, a large city of Izmir. Well, when you get to verse number 8, again, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, I told you before that I believe that it's referring to the angel, referring to the messenger or the pastor, the elder of that church of Smyrna, to write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. It's interesting. Again, Jesus calls himself, he identifies himself as the first and the last. Jesus recognizes here his own deity. Jesus is God, very God. Amen. And when he says first and last, it speaks of his eternal character. He uses the same term in Revelation 1, verse 11, and Revelation 1, 17. This same term, I'm the first and the last. Remember, Jesus is talking about himself, about he's God, very God. He's the eternal one. And so it speaks, he recognizes deity. And then he says, which was dead, that recognizes his death. So there's his deity, then there's his death. There's a lot of people who do not literally believe that Jesus died a literal death. Some of these scholars think that you've heard what's called a swoon theory, or he was in a coma or something, and after 3 days he came to and he rose up. No. Jesus was bodily, was dead, very dead. And that's why Jesus is emphasizing this in verse number 9, that I'm not on the first and the last, that's my deity, which was dead. Bodily, he laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, his body there, lifeless for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, while his body was lifeless, his spirit, and we'll get into this later in our studies, it opened up later, that Jesus, his spirit, those 3 days and three nights, he was actively doing some things. But bodily, his lifeless body laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And he said, I was dead. And then he says, and is alive. Aren't you glad about that? We see he recognized his deity. He recognized his death. And then he recognized his deliverance. He's very much alive. Death could not hold him. And he also used this term in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. And Jesus said, I'm alive, very alive. I'm alive. Matter of fact, we serve a risen Savior. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. He's alive. And Jesus recognized that when he said, I'm the first and last. I was dead and now I'm alive. Then we get to verse number 9. He says, I know thy works. Remember, he said, told that to the church at Ephesus. He tells that to these churches, I know thy works. And again, just a reminder, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about this church. Nothing could be hidden from him. Whether from this church, God knows all that takes place here. And even in our own personal lives, God knows the good and the bad. Nothing can be hidden from God. So he just reminds him, I know thy works. Now, for a lot of people, that's a good thing. Because there's a lot of people out there laboring for the Lord and nobody recognizes them because they're working hard for the Lord and they're not doing it for recognition of man. But God recognizes them, and I know thy works. On the other side of that coin, there are people that if they really had that concept, I know thy works and you can't hide nothing from me, boy, that would straighten a lot of people's lives out. Are you following? I know what's going on in your life. You may hide it from the preacher. You may hide it from the church members. You may hide it from friends and family, but you can't hide it from me. I know thy works. I know what's going on. Well, he says, I know thy works. Then he uses that word, and tribulation. The word tribulation, again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did look up the word. It's the word thlipsis, and it means heavy pressure. This church was under heavy pressure, and describes as having a heavy weight on your chest and slowly suffocating. You can't hardly breathe because of that great pressure that's upon you. Well, obviously, that church at Smyrna was under great pressure, great tribulation. By the way, we think that we're persecuted here in America. It's nothing compared to what these churches were going through back in when John is writing. The persecution of the first century churches and others. Ronnie's always so good about mentioning other countries and believers who are being martyred in other parts of the world who they go through real persecution. Our persecution is if somebody makes some fun of us, you know, or laughs at us or says something bad at us, or they come and put a sign on the door about flying a Jewish flag. I mean, that's about the extent. And I don't know what the future may hold. But right now here in America, we as believers don't really know what persecution really is. These people suffered tribulation. They knew what it was like to history, and you know about this. So many people were being martyred, and people were losing their jobs and family members because they named the name of Christ in the first century. And he says, and he used that word, I know thy works, and I know thy tribulation. And even through this pressure that's upon people, you know, Jesus Christ is our relief under pressure. And I was thinking about being under tribulation and how the Lord says, I know your tribulation. I know you're under pressure, but he gives us the relief. In my mind, you know how I'm kind of silly thinking anyway. My mind went to a hot water heater. And on a hot water heater tank, they have what's called a pop-off valve. I don't know if many of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, has a pop-off valve. It's located sometimes on the side, sometimes on the top. And if that hot water heater gets too hot, the pressure builds up, that pop-off valve just blows, releases that pressure. And by the way, you don't want to be anywhere around that when that happens. But it releases that pressure. If not, that tank's going to blow up. And I thought, well, that's a silly illustration, but you know, Jesus is our pressure relief valve. If we don't release some of this pressure, we're going to blow up. Okay, some of us have duct tape wrapped around our heads because we're about to explode. Well, Jesus literally relieves us from the pressure. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The problem is we don't take advantage of that, and we just keep it within ourselves, and even under pressure and great tribulation. And some of us are under pressure, great pressure. I don't want to detract. It's a difficult time sometimes at work or at home or at school. Well, Christ is our relief under pressure. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.